Hey, what's going on, Dividend Investing viewer? My name is Russ, and in this interview that I have for you, I'm chatting with a listener who is not a content creator in any way, shape, or form, but somebody that had emailed me and I thought had an interesting and unique story and perspective that I wanted to share with you because he was broke at age 38 and now has a net worth of over $170,000 at age 43. He is a retired United States Marine, and one of the very interesting things that we talked about was when he said, "I would sell everything in my portfolio but for these three stocks." So feel free to use the timestamps below and jump ahead to that if you'd like, but I think there's something interesting for everybody, especially if you are somebody or know somebody that's going to be going into the United States military. And now I bring you an interview with Mike Cowley. Michael, what's up, man? Thank you so very much for joining us. And like I said in the intro, I had no idea who you were, or you just emailed me right out of the blue. And I was like, you know what? I think you got a cool story and you can really help some people that are looking for answers that are probably in the military. I'm so excited to have you join us. So, dude, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast there.
Yeah, thanks for bringing me on. I'd love to help people, so this would be great.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So we'll just jump right into it and tell everybody in the wide, wide world of YouTube and podcast land, when did you go into the Marine Corps? How did that look when you decided you wanted to go in? And when was that you went in? How old were you?
So I was 18. The day I graduated, I went to the hotel and shipped off to boot camp at about 4 o'clock the next morning. 1999.
Yeah, dude. So I went in. Yeah, I got out in 99. I went in 96. So that's cool. We're almost overlapped. Overlapped. But I took the summer off. I was a little bit like, yeah, you know, I'm excited to go, but I think I'm going to take this off. So I went in September when all my friends were going to college. That's when I went to the good old USN, which, by the way, the Marines are the Department of the Navy.
Well,
I'm sure you're aware of that.
We're the men's department.
I was waiting for it, dude. We didn't set that up. I was waiting. That's like, if you know, you know if you're in. So I was hoping you would say that. So, yes, the men's department. Alrighty. So early investing experience inside of the Marine Corps. Did you have any investing experience when you went in? What did that whole finances look like for you? And just talk us through a little bit about of like your frame of mind when you were in those early days.
Early days, I had no plan. I didn't know what investing was, didn't care about it. You know, they don't teach it in school, which is a shame. The only thing I knew was I didn't want to be in the position that my family was currently in. So I wanted to do better. It wasn't until probably 2 years, 3 years after I joined that they came up with this thing called the Thrift Savings Plan. It's essentially a 401k for federal employees. At the time, they didn't match. They do now, but I didn't know anything about it. So I just said, oh, I'll throw 1% in here, 2%. And I would bring it up. I'd bring it up and bring it down on percentages based on how I felt that month, which was stupid. I should have just set it and forget it. But I started doing that, and I should have paid attention to it because it was all going into a money market fund instead of like the S&P 500 or small caps or international. And that was my 8th year. I went into a class before I deployed. They made us do a financial class. And I kind of was like, okay, so I can be rich one day. So then I started looking at it. It was a lot of good information. So I actually started delving into stocks and delving into ETFs and mutual funds. It was just so much information. It was a lot of fun digging into that.
What class is that? Do they still have it now? Is it that was a class by the Marines then, by our government that they put that on for you?
Yeah. So our battalion was hosting a big deployment. Get ready for deployment. Get your money right before you deploy, because you know when you deploy, you hope you got mama back home taking care of the bills. You know you got to take care of your family back here. So they sent us all down, and this one guy came in. I don't know where he was from. He was from a brokerage, and he was telling us about finances and how we should invest our money. And we had all this extra money when we're deployed, so you can invest it. You could do all of this. And he showed a little diagram. If you invest this much for this long at this percentage, you could have $1 million. And so as soon as he said all that, I was like, whoa, okay, I need to listen to this guy. Because that was my aha moment, essentially. That was my, I knew I didn't want to be where I was. this is where I can be. So that's where I'm going.
Dude, I'm jealous. I'm jealous you got that because, man, like I said, in the 90s and when I was in, there was nothing. I didn't know, as I've talked about earlier, I spent all my money on drinking, gambling, women, all gone, saved nothing. And unfortunately, when I got out, the last check that I got was all that I had. So it was really, really sad to think of like all the young people that went in before, you know, before we did, when we both went in, that got no kind of financial education whatsoever. They didn't have the TSP. I mean, we're just paying Social Security taxes, I believe. That was it. It was awful. So it's good you got that. Now you did. You're 20 years. You retired out of the Marines, or retired from the Marines, but you are still always a Marine.
Always.
And I don't know why we don't say that. Once a sailor, always a sailor.
It just doesn't have a Marine. Once a soldier, always a soldier.
Yeah.
The Marines are the only branch that can say, I'm a Marine. What are you going to say? I'm a soldier. I'm a sailor. I'm a Navy.
Exactly. You know, and that's the funny thing. Like, I have a friend down at Belmont Harbor, or he has a boat in Belmont Harbor here in Chicago, and he's a sailor. He knows more about sailing than I do, but, you know, it just doesn't have that same ring. So kudos to that. That was cool that you had that aha moment and you didn't want to be where you wanted to be. So did you have any early challenges? I mean, was there any mistakes you made? Anything that, you know, you kind of would have done different?
Oh, there's a lot of them. Not knowing anything about investments, there was times I hesitated to put any money into the TSP because I didn't know what it was. I was like, oh, they're just trying to take my money. Something else, you know, it's just some other scam. So I would put money in at 1%, knowing I could put in a whole lot more, but I didn't. And then I went up to 3%, then 5%, back down to 1%. And I mean, you couldn't take in-service withdrawals, but I did do something really stupid. I drew it all out when I retired. To pay off a bunch of debt. So that was a big, huge mistake. Never do that. But my biggest thing was,
we'll see.
Yeah.
I took out a big chunk to pay off
debt. I took out $170,000.
You one upped me then. Yeah. I was only at like, I think we did about 10 grand to pay. Oh, wow. We paid off debt and we bought some gold and silver.
There you
so
go.
Stupid.
Yeah. I did it because of debt. I was took out a bunch of stupid debt, cars. When I retired, I bought a brand new motorcycle because I deserved it. I retired. So I paid all that stuff off. And to this day, I regret it because I would have multi-million dollars. So that was, you know, live and learn.
Dude, like you said, that was, you know, we can't go back and change the past, but we can not only learn what we're going to do different going forward, but we can also share what we did wrong with people like you who are listening. And, you know, by the way, for all of you watching, thank you so much for being with us. We really do appreciate that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So you paid off debt. Talk to that a little bit. Like, just, I mean, you have a son. I mean, what do you tell him about? Is that one of the things you, I don't want to say beat into his head. That sounds wrong. But I mean, is that one of the things you talk about, staying out of consumer debt and underspending your income?
For sure. Yeah. So I actually did him a huge favor. I bought him his first car, brand spanking new, when he turned 17. You know, I sold my house, so I rolled some money into my savings, but I also bought him a car, so he wouldn't have consumer debt. I don't want the kid to have any consumer debt whatsoever. Now, when he got his first job, I told him, you're going to live on 30% and you're going to invest the rest. So that 70%, we break between a savings emergency fund, and then the rest goes to his Roth IRA. He said, okay, you know, he's fine with that. And my thinking is, behind that is, I know based on my income that I live on about 30% and the rest goes to necessities. You know, so he does the same thing. If he lives by that and learns by that, he'll have multi-million dollars by the time he's our age. You know, I showed it to him, $1 right now, by the time he's 60 will equal $97. You know, that's just $1. He's got $4,000 already saved up and he works part-time. You know, he goes to school full-time. He works part-time. Yeah, he invests and he's all about it. He's like, here's all my money. Do it. So he's getting excited about it. I show him the numbers and his eyes get all big. So he's super excited. Yeah.
How does he feel about it? So as we're recording this, the market just has had a string of red bloody days just getting beaten down. So like how is his mentality around that stuff? I mean, what do you educate him on it? Does he care? Is he worried?
Doesn't care. He doesn't even look at it. He just wants to put more money into it. And I'm like, do you have any money to, no. He's like, what do I need money for? I go to school and I eat free. What do I need money for? He doesn't have a girlfriend. He doesn't leave the house. He plays video games when he's home. So yeah, sure. Okay. I got 20 bucks in the bank. I'm good. Okay. So I spend the rest of it. He doesn't even look at it. And of course I don't tell him the market's down and you've lost $300 in your portfolio, but at the end of the day, that's small game. You know, he's looking 40 years from now, not this week, next week.
I'm jealous, dude. And that's crazy. 30% that you live on. I'm the opposite. We save 30% and we live on the 70. So, I mean, dude, that's fabulous that you guys can make that work. And it's just igniting fire to your investments and your savings are going to rocket ship.
We bring in about, being retired, we bring in about $104,000 a year. And we save over $4,000 a month. And then we live on just basic everyday thing. We both live on $250 a week. And when that money is gone, it's gone. We don't do anything. You know, I mean, that's a lot of discretionary funding we have. And we save $4,000 a month.
Hardcore. Dude, that's what that is. That's hardcore savings. But you got to be aggressive. Like, I feel like you're trying to make up for lost time and some mistakes we made in the past. I wish some to God I would have known that. I mean, when I was young, when I was your son's age, it was like money was what can money buy? Like, that's what can I use money to buy instead of what can money earn? Right. And that's one thing I wish to God somebody would just stop me and smack me upside the head and told me. But
I tell him all the time I'm jealous. I wish to God I could be 17 again and have the information that I have now, or even younger, because I would have saved all the birthday money. I would have saved every dollar that I ever got. You have it so lucky at an early age. If you just start early.
You know what it is? I heard, I don't know if you know who Manish Pabrai is, the famous investor. I heard him recently talking about it's all about the doubles and the rule of 72, how long it takes to double your money. The rule of 72. Let's see if I can explain this. You take the interest you want, divide it by 72 is the common one. So 10% divided by 72. So every 7.2 years at 10% compounded return, you'll double your money. So like he said, it's exponential and it's just all about the doubles. During your life, you want as many doublings of your money as possible. Yep. So the earlier you start, the more doubles you get. And it's just math. You will be, like you said, your son will be a multimillionaire.
Oh, yeah.
It's just math. Obviously, you know, not if you put it all into TSLY, maybe, or
or JETB or JETQ.
Right. It may be okay, or, you know, but I'm thinking more like individual stocks and things like that, things that are highly leveraged. It's just that market. So the S&P 500, which, you know, it's self-cleansing. I think still year to date, the S&P 500 is up, while a lot of stocks that I'm individually invested in for the dividend income.
Yeah, I checked today, and it's up 10%. For the year.
And that's the thing to me that's, you know, now that's total return. And, you know, what we're trying to do, what we're comfortable with is we're trying to maximize the passive income, the dividend income, and essentially living off the interest without having to eat into the principal, meaning not having to sell any shares of stock. Still, dude, like the S&P, it's like, you don't have to do anything. You just put money into this ticker, you know, research, no nothing. Yeah. There's nothing required other than just directing money into that, and then you can forget about it and be on your way. But maybe it's some lunatics like us that like to go a little bit deeper and, you know, play the game a little bit differently. So I guess we kind of covered a little bit of, you know, what advice we would give to the youth. So you manage portfolios for a few people now, from what you've told me, which is crazy. So tell me, what does that look like? And then maybe even, you know, what are some of your favorite stocks right now, some of your favorite investments, or you don't have to give dollar amounts, but what are you invested in mostly?
Okay. So, well, my net worth is about 176,000. So I do manage four different portfolios for various people that were in the military. They're all guys that I worked with. One guy is now 65 and retired. He's got about 2 million just sitting around, and, you know, he's got his play money where he does do individual stocks every once in a while, but majority of it right now is just sitting in money market funds. And I can't really fault him for that. He's pulling in 5% interest. I can't fault him for that. He just wants income right now. But he's not looking for growth. You know, he wants to spend every last dollar before he dies. Okay. You know, that's your right. It's your privilege. The other ones, you know, I just got him, you know, we got 20 years to go until I retired. So, you know, we just keep it simple. You know, you don't have to do anything extravagant. If there's a certain stock that they're really passionate about, sure, we'll throw a little bit of money in that. But I don't want any portfolio, I don't want any single stock to go over 5%. In my own personal portfolio, I don't have any stock over 3%. The rest of them are in ETFs. So my big three are VOO for the S&P 500, SCHD for the value push towards it, and then either QQQM, VGT, or my big thing right now is XLK. And VGT and XLK are both information tech, and they're both up extremely high just this year. But I'll alternate between VGT and XLK.
You're in IT, right? That's what you're doing now these days. Yeah, even though you don't have to. I mean, you enjoy doing it, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'll build computers on the side. I'll do some people call me and ask me for advice, and I'll just help them real quick. My family calls me all the time. You know, so yeah, it's fun. It's just something to do.
I will preface it like I was going to say, you have a net worth, what was that, 170K? You
said? Yeah, about 176 right now.
176. So it shows you don't need to be a multimillionaire to be, you know, air quotes, retired. And I don't know how you feel. Like, I feel like I never want to be like retired. I'm always going to be doing something for money, but just I kind of want to shift into doing something eventually that I really love doing, kind of like YouTube, and doesn't pay a whole lot of money, kind of like YouTube. But it's just you love that helping people, that community aspect. You do have money coming in from the government, so that does help. And that's something I wanted to point out to a lot of people that are either in or maybe thinking of getting out. So that does kind of help to offset if you can get government money coming in, right?
Yeah, so I retired, and of course I get my retirement check. But another big thing is the VA. It's tax-free income. You know, 100% permanent and total. So I bring in about $4,000 a month from that. So I'm very lucky. You know, there's not a lot of 43-year-olds that, you know, can say they're retired.
Man. You got to tell it. I you said lucky, and I will say lucky. So just really quick, tell the story of, dude, when you thought it was over. You thought you were punched out. You punched your ticket. You were checking out.
There's actually, what happened? There's quite a few of them, but the biggest one that affected me the most was we were doing a cordon knock on the building, which means we surround the building and we break down the door.
Where was this?
It was in Iraq. So we were told that there were, you know, Hajis in this building. Terrorist. So we said, okay, we'll take it out. I was the door kicker that day. Lucky, you know, poor straw picker, whatever. We got ready. We mounted on the door. I kicked in the door. And as soon as I kicked in the door, all I saw was flashes and severe pain. And it knocked me back 2 or 3 feet. And I thought I was dead. So what had happened was when I kicked open the door, I was shot with a machine gun about 7 times in total. All of my flak was destroyed. My sappies were destroyed. I had 12 magazines on my chest full of ammo. They were all destroyed. It crushed my sternum, broke 6 ribs. It was like I had an out-of-body experience because I saw them drag my body around, and I saw a guy throwing a grenade. The grenade went off, and as soon as it went off, I blacked out. And I thought I was dead. I thought I was done. And then I woke up in Germany, and I just recovered from there. But yeah, there was a bunch of IED explosions, you know, IEDs right next to you going off. An IED buried so deep that it lifts you off the ground. Instead of it killing you, it just lifts you off the ground because it moved all the earth. And I come down and busted my knee.
Yeah. So I just wanted to share that because some people that don't understand might hear like, oh, the government's giving this guy $4,000. No, you earned that money because of what the government asked you to do. So, you know, again, man, thank you for your service. Like, that is just such a world of difference from what I was in. I'm floating around on this boat. Like, even when we went in the Persian Gulf and stuff, I was never kicking in doors and put on anything like that. So, you unfortunately, you know, I hate to say, but you earned it. And thankfully you survived it. So is there any like profound lesson? Is there anything that taught you about life? Like, did that make you think differently about things?
Yeah. Life can all of a sudden, it can be a flash of a light and you're gone. So it made me cherish things a lot more. It definitely made me think about my life and the legacy that I want to leave behind. My income from dividends, I don't even use. I just reinvest everything. And all the money that I put aside and I invest is just strictly for legacy. I don't use any of that money and don't plan to use any of that money. I want to change my family's future from here on out. That's the best thing that I can do. So they can cherish their life just as much as I cherish mine right now.
That's beautiful. I love it. And that, I think that's what a lot of us are trying to do. We just want to leave things a little bitter, not a little bitter, goodness, a little better for those that are coming after us.
Yeah.
I hope we're not leaving it a little bitter for them, crying out loud. So what an experience. And for anybody that's in, like, leave a comment below. We, you know, I'd love to hear from you if you're in the military. I do want to share that with you because before we went on, we were talking, you have a website. Are you comfortable sharing it?
I don't have a website. If you've been in the military and you're getting out, a good thing to look at is VA Claims Insider. If you've already been out for a few years, it doesn't even matter. VA Claims Insider are great. He's helped four of my buddies go from, you know, 50 to 100% or 20 to 100% in VA compensation. And they provide their own doctors. They provide their own CMP exams. They provide all of that stuff. And you submit it all. They take a small percentage of they don't get nothing unless you get something. And it's not a lot. One buddy, he was out of the military for 20 years and he was at 30%, went all the way to 100% permanent in total. And he wound up paying him like $1,000. But he got back pay from all of that time. So he got a massive amount of money. And he just gave him $1,000 and he was done.
So yeah, if you're in or you're getting out or you've been out, definitely check out. I'll have, again, a link in the show notes for that website. So as we're thinking about landing the plane here, what's some of your favorite individual stocks? I love individual stocks. I love talking those. So you said none of them are over 3% of your portfolio. So what are a couple of those that are at the higher end on your individuals?
So right now, AbbVie is a big one of mine. It's done great this year. What I look for is I look for any stock that has a dividend growth of at least 10%. And I don't care what the dividend yield is because it's going to go up. But Waste Management is one. Procter & Gamble, AbbVie, Pepsi is another one that I'm real heavy in right now. But I do have a banger that's just fell completely. That's Verizon. I'm trying to get out of it so bad. I just want it to go back up to my cost basis and I'm getting out of it. But I do sell options on it. You know, I don't get very much, like $10 every time, but yeah, it's a little, you know, it's something.
Yeah, it's hard with those that don't have a lot of volatility. The option premium, as I've learned, is really not that good when the stock doesn't move a lot. PepsiCo. Oh, dude, I've actually, you know, a little bit of, not a spoiler alert, but I'm going to be having content coming out maybe on the next live stream. I'm really questioning what I'm going to be doing with my 100 shares of PepsiCo just because of that free cash flow payout ratio. I think it's like 113% or so now. Analysts are expecting their free cash flow to even worsen in the next trailing 12 months. The next trailing 12 months would be the next 12 months, I guess. If there's a way to confuse myself, I've just done it. But it's supposed to be like 133% free cash flow payout ratio. And it feels so weird to say that now that I'm thinking about selling them when I was such a proponent of them and I want to hold them forever. But when I started investing in them and when I got that 100 shares, that free cash flow payout ratio, and it was nowhere where it is now. So something fundamentally has changed with that investment and it's kind of a red flag. And do you ever feel like you might be too emotionally attached to a stock and you might overlook some of the big red flags that might be waving right in front of your face like I am?
No, if I like them. And so the reason why I bought Pepsi to begin with is my son loves chips. He admires chips and Pepsi. You know, they got a snack line, they got their soda line, and the wife loves drinking Pepsi products. And that's the only reason I bought it. And it's usually always sold out wherever I go. It's just annoying. So I bought it. And yeah, it's down. But the way I look at it is they're a dividend king. I'm going to keep them. It'll go up eventually. But am I tied to anything? I could sell anything in my portfolio other than my SCHD, my XLK, and my VOO. I'll sell everything else. No problem.
It's those things as investors, dude, we got to work through. And everybody has their own little... What's one of your favorite metrics that you look for with a dividend stock when you're going to invest in it? What's one of your favorites?
It used to be intrinsic value, but after your last video, I don't think I'm going to look at that anymore. It's going to be more towards the free cash flow because that's where the dividend comes from. After everything else is paid, their free cash flow, that's where the dividend comes from. So if they're free cash flow can't cover the dividend, they're in trouble. I also look at management and at fundamentals. If their fundamentals haven't changed, they're still, like, for instance, Realty Income, their fundamentals haven't changed. They're in a down market. I'm still buying ADC. I'm still buying Prologis. I'm still buying. So, you know, those are all my Roth. So,
none of that. ADC. Joey agree. I just tweeted it out. So, their CEO yesterday picked up 4,000 more shares in the mid, like, $53 range. And last week he bought 4,000 shares. So he's bought like 8,000 shares. And that's on the open market. That's not his. There's a website, CEO-buys again, and there's going to be just loaded stuff in the show notes. Look down there if you're watching this or listening, you'll see it. So CEO-buys, you can put in any ticker symbol, and from what I understand, they will show you when a CEO bought shares on the open market with their own money. So not stock options, not gifts, not anything like that. It's only when they buy in the open market. And dude, we'd love to see that as investors. Because that, you know, tells us somebody on the inside is only buying because they think the stock is cheap and it's going to go up. So, you know, they could be wrong again. Like we said, you know, as of this recording, I'm not aware. I don't know about you, of anybody that can predict the future with 100% accuracy.
I mean, Warren Buffett is pretty close, but no. But I like ADC. ADC is essentially Realty Income. Yep. It's just smaller. Realty Income has to buy and do so much just to move the needle. ADC is a smaller company. They're going to expand faster than OCAN. So I'm backing up the truck on ADC in my Roth.
Yeah, you may have just been the cherry on top, but I've been thinking about that when we just saw Realty Income buy that stake in the Bellagio, the 21% stake. Like, they're so big. I think the number I had seen was like $50 billion in assets under management or something like that. Yeah, I think was the number.
But if you look at it, everyone's saying really bad things about the Bellagio deal, but if you actually look at it, it's only like 0.1% of their entire portfolio.
Yeah, it just goes to show, though, that's how big they are, that they're really trying. It's not going to move the needle, and they're so big that, you know, they're trying to move the needle, but like with Agree Realty, you know, and that's something I always wonder, like, why, how come the CEO of Realty Income isn't buying more shares of when it's this cheap, you know? So it's, it just gives you the warm and fuzzy to see Joey Agree buying his own company, like, on the open market. I don't, is there anything we haven't covered? Like, is there any bit of advice? I mean, you know, say hi to your son. And
really, the only advice that I could say, I don't care if it was today or yesterday, you need to start. I don't care if you're 40 years old, 10 years old, 20 years old. It doesn't matter your age. Just start. You'll be surprised. From 40 to 60, it's 20 years. You know, I didn't start again. Once I got out and retired, I was 38 and I was broke. I took everything out. I was broke. And then I started all over again. And now I'm back up to 176 and I'm only 43. So it only took a couple of years. It doesn't take long if you just set it, forget it, and just start. You're never too old to start. I got my dad just retired at 65. He didn't start until he was 55. And he's already got $100,000 saved up. So he just retired, which is, I mean, it's not a lot in the grand scheme of things, but it's going to help him through his retirement on top of Social Security.
Broke to over six figures net worth in a few short years. Dude, I've really enjoyed this and I'm happy I had you on and you came on. So is there, if anybody wants to send you a lot, do you have any kind of social media? Is there any way anyone can get in touch with you that you would like to share?
No, I pretty much banned all social media personally. I don't like it. There's just too much drama out there. And save the drama for your mama. I don't want anything to do with it. The only thing you can do is just email me. It's my last name, Cowley, Cowley, Mike in Sierra, so MS01@gmail.com.
Yeah, and again, I know I do this a lot. I'll have a link in the show notes if you'd like to email Mike. And I guess I'll end it with this. If somebody was thinking of going into the Marines right now, what piece of advice would you have for them?
Do it. If that's what you want to do. Boot camp is going to be rough, but I loved it. I love basic. I'm a very structured guy and I love structure, and basic was amazing. It's really simple. You do as you're told. You can't mess it up. You really can't. If you were going to go into a service and you hadn't picked, if I could go back and do it over again, I would win for the Air Force. I'm sorry to the Marines out there.
Oh, no. But I'll cut this out. I'll edit this out.
No, by all means. I'm serious. I've even talked to my son. He was going to, like, he's very soft-spoken. He's soft-hearted. He'd never make it as a Marine. So I told him, look, you need to go Air Force. just go. Because Air Force, what I found is
Air Force.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but Air Force seem to be more successful, actually. They actually do more because they're not kicking in doors, man. You know, they have a special ops, but they're not kicking in doors. They're doing their job every single day. Where if you're infantry like I was, you know, you're not doing your job. All you're doing is kicking in doors and shooting people, you know, and training, going to the field. You don't learn any good skills through doing that. So, yeah, I mean, go into another branch besides the Marines if you want to be successful in life, essentially.
Yeah, so I kind of selfishly, I have a second cousin who was in during Vietnam. And that's why I chose the Navy, because I remember seeing him. He was in the reserves at Great Lakes, and he would sometimes wear his uniform. So I remember when I was little, and he said the same thing to me when I was deciding where I wanted to go. He's like, you know, hey, if you go in the Navy, you're going to learn a skill. You get a warm bed every night. You're not sleeping on the ground outside.
Yep.
And you're going to get three hot meals. Oh, and he said, and a bathroom. There'll be a bathroom and running water. I was like, okay, sold. Navy it is. And then I ended up on the John C. Stennis, so aircraft carrier. What an experience. And, dude, what an experience talking with you. And I love it. I just love meeting people in this community. And I appreciate you for giving us a little bit of your time and coming on.
I appreciate you having me on. It's been great.
Absolutely. All right. And for you, everybody else, thank you for stopping on by. And we will talk to you in the next video.